Today, I'm speaking with Prayag Narula, co-founder and CEO of a company called Lead Genius. How are you, Prayag?
I'm great, Darius. Thanks for having me on your show.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. What is Lead Genius?
It's a great question. So Lead Genius is top of the funnel data and analytics companies, a company that helps its customers target and get understanding of their primarily B2B marketplace, help them identify their addressable market and help them kind of map out that market and understand what part of the market works for them best and how to scale up their revenue operations.
Okay. So, of course, the focus of the company sounds like from the name also is about finding leads. Is that accurate?
It's finding leads and then providing analytics on top of your lead gen operation.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, of course, as you said, you're focused on B2B and retail business is B2C. There are differences, but there are also similarities between these two paths. What is your experience in that respect?
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. So, you know, there are primarily, as you know, in retail, B2C audience and B2B audience. We primarily help the B2B companies, basically helping companies get in front of retailers and scaling their, helping them scale that part of the business. But I also have, you know, keen understanding and experience with the B2C marketplace. And I believe that B2C space, because of a few constraints that were put on the market early on, evolved very rapidly in the last, you know, 15 years or so. In a large part, because of a lot of innovation that was brought in by Amazon, there was a lot more innovation that happened in the B2C marketing space, especially focused on the retail sector. And now the B2B sector is catching up. And, you know, we are part of that kind of new wave of B2B marketing and data companies that are, you know, bringing B2B marketing back into kind of the more technology-oriented, very strategic, using technology strategically. Has become more possible now in the B2B space. So I'm very excited about both of them, but I'm especially obviously very excited about where the B2B space is going. And hopefully in the next few years we'll be able to catch up to all the innovation that has happened in the B2C space in the last 15 years.
Right. So as far as the actual innovations that we're talking about is the idea that on an e-commerce website, you can have analytics that you can immediately look at the metrics, how any campaign, for example, is doing, measure and make decisions a lot quicker than you would in a, for example, a calling campaign, correct?
I think that's some of it. I think a lot of it obviously has to do with volume. If you're a B2C vendor, you get a lot more volume on your website and on your channels than you would at a B2B space or a B2B vendor would get. So that's definitely part of it, and being able to kind of change, you know, dynamically change your pricing and dynamically change your messaging and dynamically change and dynamically target your customer based on that is definitely part of the innovation I'm talking about. I think B2B, just the volume is lower, number one. Deal sizes are a lot higher, so it's worth investing more in acquiring that customer and keeping that customer. But because the volume is lower, you're right, you have to kind of go with more traditional methods like calling and like emailing. But I think the volume is one part of it. I think the other part is just the amount of technology that has been available from the B2C side hasn't really caught up on the B2B side. For example, there is no DMP data management platform on the B2B side that is, very accurate and that can act in a similar way that DMPs have been doing on the B2C side. That kind of dynamic targeting and that kind of, targeting based on psychographic has not traditionally been available to the B2B side. And now companies like ours are coming in and providing, that kind of innovation at the B2B side as well. Still a long way to go, there is definitely the volume aspect. There's definitely also technology aspect that hasn't caught up yet. That is catching up.
So when I think about B2B, I mean, SaaS basically also comes into mind, and it seems like SaaS is probably somewhere between a traditional B2B and the B2C, because SaaS companies use a lot of the same tools that B2C companies use, right?
To a certain extent, I think SaaS has become kind of the code for new age companies, and it's definitely very appropriate, because SaaS as a model is a model that has only existed in the last 10-15 years. So it is definitely kind of SaaS companies definitely use a lot more of that innovation in their sales and marketing, and that's because traditionally they have been very kind of advanced and mostly technology companies. But it's not just SaaS. It's a lot of kind of traditional players, a lot of e-commerce players, a lot of non-SaaS, even more transactional companies have been using kind of new technology, the new B2B marketing technologies, and innovate on the customer acquisition side. In especially in e-commerce and retail sector, I've seen a lot of innovation that has happened in that sector. And I think there is a parallel between the innovation that you are as a company that you are bringing into the market and innovation that you are going to use in your go-to-market strategy. So if you are a more advanced company, you would look for cutting-edge technology. And that's why most cutting-edge technology companies find their initial buyer in the tech sector. But since we are kind of in a unique place where we are a cutting-edge tech company that is selling to a more, that is selling to both tech but also very traditional companies, I think we have a unique understanding. And there is a lot of innovation that's happening in non-SaaS companies as well, in their B2B marketing. And frankly, the next few years are going to be very exciting.
Looking at one of the videos from Lead Genius, I think it was your co-founder, CTO, probably a year or so ago, that predicted that sales associates are not going to be around or not in the same way in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the idea? How are things going to change as far as like B2B sales associates?
We definitely have very different landscape in mind than what exists today. And what we are predicting is that both the marketing as well as sales is going to change dramatically in the next 10 years with the advent of modern technology, machine learning, AI, and large-scale data mining. So it's definitely sales associate as it exists today, their job is changing every day, and it's going to continue to change. The idea is a lot of manual work that a lot of sales associates do should be done by computers, right? So that's one thing. So that's about bringing efficiency into the market. And the second part is the way organizations are deploying sales associates is going to change based on the kind of analytics they see into their and the kind of insights they see into their market and marketplace today. They'll have a lot more visibility, and they continue to have a lot more visibility into their market, and that's going to also impact the job of a sales associate. So it's kind of changing in both ways, and their own jobs are changing, and then how they are being used inside the marketplace is changing. And that's going to continue to evolve. And I think in an ideal scenario, the sales associate, the job function is not going away. But there's a lot of manual things that sales associates have to do, like doing research on their customers, like finding out, certain things about their customers that makes the sale more possible, that increases, accelerates the sales process. That's going to go away, and their primary job is going to become more of relationship builders, and while everything else happens for them in the background automatically. And then the other thing is the sales leaders and marketing leaders would have a lot more insight into their market, so they can optimally deploy their resources rather than kind of thinking about it in a much more traditional geographical territory-based way. They can be very much dynamic with it and can change the way the sales resource deployment works to make it a lot more efficient and make it a lot more nimble.
Okay.
So that's kind of the two ways in which I see this ending.
Okay, you mentioned research. I think that's definitely something that is a lot. It's a great fit for actually software to do a lot of research, because first of all, there's so much data, so much information out there, and a lot of it is repetitive, but it's incomplete in different areas. So if you get data on a company from 50 different locations, not two of them are going to be probably the same or very few. So that's where software, I think, can definitely help bring things together. It seems like on the B2C side, what's happening is the role of the checkout is the first thing that's going to be automated out. So it's almost like, a one-to-one relationship, or not relationship, but like a comparison for B2B research is going to be automated first for retail, and it's going to be the checkout part of the retail store, and slowly different roles are going to go that way until you get to a point where the analytic and intuitive powers of a human being are really not replicable by computers, and that's where humans are going to focus in. Is that how you see the future B2B salesperson as well?
Absolutely, I think you hit the nail on its head. I think the reason the research part is not as innovative in the B2C space is because that's been relatively a solved problem with, as I mentioned, the DMPs and the amount of data that's available. But that innovation is still being built into the B2B space, and we are at the forefront of building that. It has to be kind of very optimal, and it has to be done kind of in a way that enables those human connections. But has to be done at scale, which is, software is a perfect place to kind of bring innovation into that. I think from the B2C space, as I said, just the amount of data that's available has really changed things for the B2C sector. I think one thing that B2C has already taken advantage of is the multi-channel that you talk about a lot on your podcast, the multi-channel approach that has worked incredibly well for B2C. I think B2B is kind of going that way as well. So there's going to be a lot of innovation there that's going to change the landscape a lot.
That's interesting. How would multi-channel work in the B2B world?
It's pretty similar to what B2B. How it works in B2C world. Remember, the multi-channel approach in B2B world is not new.
As far as different channels of like marketing, physical, like newspapers, or is that okay?
That's exactly what I mean. And in terms of buying channel, that has definitely changed. It's almost entirely online right now. Phone-based order taking is kind of thing of the past right now. But it's I was definitely around marketing, around getting your customers where they spend most of their time, and getting data from all these different channels and using that to influence your marketing campaigns. I think that's what's going to be a big part of the B2B, as it is becoming a big part of the B2C.
Okay. One question I have is there a difference on how B2B lead gen or marketing is done depending on the product category? How much of a difference are these? Let's say if somebody's selling insurance as opposed to software, how much of a difference is in your process actually working with companies like that?
Oh, so for us, it's the process from a customer point of view is not very different. From our customer point of view, it's a fairly standardized process. But obviously in the background, we just use the optimal source or optimal kind of data points that specific customers use. Those would be different. So let me give you an example. If you're selling B2B insurance, then you would want to know, the size of the organization, or how many board members do they have, or what is the size of the executive team, because that goes into your B2B insurance code. But if you're selling, say, food, or you're selling solar, for example, it's a great example. In solar, you're more concerned around the area of the roof, the size of the area available either on the roof or outside to install those solar panels. So the data points that you'll capture is going to be different based on what you're selling and based on what kind of sales process you have. But from a customer's point of view, other than kind of identifying those things, those data points, the process is going to be really the same.
Okay, so the process is pretty similar. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about a couple of case studies. I know that you work with Square, which is a POS, basically mobile POS company, and also eBay. Let's talk about Square first. How did you work with Square? How did you help them?
So Square is a very innovative company when it comes to B2B sales and marketing is concerned. They take a lot of their decision based on data, and they're very good and very forward thinking about their sales and marketing, especially when it comes to data. For them, it was very important to understand when they were going after their prospects, the retailers, they were typically targeting kind of on the ground brick and mortar retailers. For them, it was very important to find out what kind of check sizes, or what kind of how much money is going through credit cards in a year, and we were helping them kind of identify that by providing them various proxies around the data that they are capturing with us. So it was we were basically with them, we were able to predict what is the size of revenue a business does on their credit card in a year, and that helped them prioritize their total addressable market and route the right leads to the right sales reps. And that was kind of major innovation that we brought into their sales processes.
So any kind of like tips for other startups when they want to work with an organization that large?
You mean like Square?
Like Square. They're not like the largest, but I think they're several thousand employees and divisions and things like that.
They have about 2,500 employees, I think.
Right. So what are some maybe tips that you can give to other people that want to work with companies like Square?
I think the big tip I can give, which has worked well for us, is people in big companies are looking as much, if not more, to educate themselves about new innovation as people in different startups. I think founders and executives at smaller companies, you know, have this belief that you cannot educate someone that's bigger than you, or they would not be coachable as much as your small size customers. And that's not true. I think, so Square example, Square, Andrew Berger, who's their sales ops person, is who's head of sales ops, is, you know, one of the smartest minds I've met in sales ops today. But he's still open to kind of, you know, having discussions and listening to ideas. And that's why he's so good at what he does. And that is not to be forgotten if you're selling into a big organization. You have an opportunity to bring your point of view and bring authenticity into that conversation. Stick to that and go in as a way to, like, share the knowledge that you have gained. And you would be rewarded for that.
Okay. I think that's a pretty interesting point, because you know, some people might have the impression that the big companies are really focusing on different things, but and that's like one of the things that retailers really are challenging with. You know, I'm tying that point to the retail industry, is that what do they need to do as far as, like, innovation and learning different things that can actually help them in both the short term and also the long term. I mean, that's a challenge, right? You got to stay in business until you can execute on your great ideas.
Right.
So yep. So in retail, that's a pretty interesting challenge. What about eBay? How did you work with eBay?
So eBay is, you know, eBay is one of the best known brand names in the world right now, right? Like, it's like top 25 brand names in the world, which is phenomenal. But their primary business has traditionally been on, you know, they're synonymous with peer-to-peer transactions. But what they are, you know, very interested in is bringing other you know, online retailers or offline retailers online onto their platform, which is a big part of their strategic initiative. So we help them map out the entire market of online and offline retailers so that they can pitch to individual decision makers there and get them to, you know, embrace eBay as a platform on which they can sell. And that has been very successful. So for us, you know, when we started with them, they were new to B2B sales. Well, when I say new to B2B sales, new to this kind of B2B sales, they've been doing B2B sales for years. But this was a new team and a new initiative. And their primary requirement was, we need someone who can, you know, very accurately and scalably map out our total market. And that's a challenge when your market is as big as kind of the entire online and offline retail world. And we were able to kind of, you know, help them. We continue to help them. The relationship is now in its second year. Continue to help them, you know, get better and more prospects that they can bring to their platform. And we've helped them target the right businesses that has helped them accelerate the sales cycle as well. So that's kind of, you know, our relationship with them have been more around helping them map out that market and prioritize the market.
If you were to break down the percentage between pure lead generation and the actual analytics experience and expertise that you've built up at Lead Genius, how would you do that? Because it sounds like there is a really heavy focus on the analytics side, and even, you know, using AI and things like that, which is, like, it's really valuable and missing, as you mentioned. I agree with that. Is that really where the future of Lead Genius is going to be?
I think the future of the market itself is, there are two things that are missing in the market. One is the ability to map, especially on the SMB side, map out the entire market for, you know, so if I ask you how many, you know, SMB businesses are out there, or how many total businesses are out there in the United States, numbers differ from company to company. And then how many decision makers are out there in those companies, that number, you know, not many people know. It's not a very well-defined number. So that part is really huge. Just being a place where you can go and get, you know, get your entire market, at least at a global level, as well as a local level, honestly, to kind of understand that and get access to that market is missing. And I think that is where companies like us, and we are, you know, we are really good at the SMB sector. So if you're selling into SMB, we have the best quality data in the world. So I think that's the one big part that is missing in the market that we are providing. And I think analytics become, you know, part of that, right? Like if you have, you know, if your total addressable market is 2 million businesses, you're not gonna sell to all 2 million of them at the same time. You need to prioritize and target in a way that it aligns with your current strategy. And that's where kind of the analytics, as well as the more kind of our help in understanding the market part of the business comes into picture. So they both go hand in hand. You cannot do one without the other, another. You cannot do it. Analytics are useless if there is, you know, not very good accurate data underneath. And a lot of data is useless if you don't have analytics to help you understand the market.
Yeah, that's a great point. I agree with that. It's like the catch 22 of getting traffic to a website and then converting it. And right. You can do each one really good, but without the other one, it's basically pretty much wasted effort.
Exactly. So, and that's what a lot of our companies in our space have been struggling with. Just the accuracy of the data is so bad traditionally been so bad in the market that like nothing you can do actually moves the needle. So, you know, we are, you know, the best data provider in that space, and that helps kind of influence all other strategies that you have in your organization.
So let me ask you this, as far as like the business, let's say if somebody wanted to work with Lead Genius, mm-hmm. what is the process of actually trying to understand what is it that, the, you know, what how you can help them as far as like the different services that you would go through?
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right in the sense that, you know, the service that is, you know, used by eBay is not going to be the same as services that are going to be helpful to Square. It's not going to be the same as, you know, as our other big customers. And it's not going to be the same as if it's needed by a smaller customer. So the best way to get a taste of what Lead Genius does and how we can help is to go to our website and fill out a contact us form. And we'll set up some time with you, and we'll basically come in and speak with you. And, you know, we'll try to be helpful, and we'll try to, you know, advise on what are the different aspects of the business that that can help you as a prospect, whether that's from Lead Genius or whether that's from someone else in the landscape, or whether that's someone else outside of the landscape. We want, you know, our primary goal would be to help the customers get to their goals, and it would be an advisor to them. So that's the best way. Go to our website, www.leadgenius.com, fill out a contact us form, and we'll just speak with you.
Okay, awesome. Now, are you going to do you go to any retail conferences?
Yeah, I am. I'm hoping to get to the internet, the IRC.
Okay. Yeah. IRC. All right. So, when you go to that conference, what mm-hmm. are you looking for? What would be the great outcome from that conference, for example?
What I'm looking for is mostly around what is the innovation that's happening that is helping you know, helping people reach out and make retail more efficient, right? What is the latest innovation that's happening in the space that's helping customers make the retailer more innovative? So we are obviously not selling to retailers directly. What we are doing is helping our customers get in touch with the right, you know, the right retailers that they can in turn help to make their business more efficient. So my goal is to learn what's happening in the space overall, and you know, how can we help the best companies get in front of the best customers, best retailers, to make their business more efficient. And I think that would be our role in the grand scheme of the retail space.
Okay, I'm getting down to my last two questions. Let's say, for example, in the retail landscape, what would be the perfect scenario for actually a company in the supply chain, for example, work with you? Would it be like a brand that wants to sign up new retail stores, or, you know, and they would work with you to identify the you know, the perfect retailers, for example, the stores, and the contact people within the stores and reaching out to them? And would that be the right type of a deal?
That's exactly correct. If you're targeting retailers, if you're both online and offline and want to identify the best prospect retailers for you to sell to that you can really help and add value, we can help you identify those and identify the decision makers and the right people to get in front of so that you can make that pitch, you can make that sale.
Okay, great. And then one last question is, so what's the future for Lead Genius? I know you've raised money. Are you raising more, you know, the next round? Of course, I guess that's the thing. Always be raising, right?
So we are,
never ends.
Yes, it's true. However, we raised our round in October, so it's not been that long since we raised our last round of funding. So we are, you know, we have enough fuel to keep going for a little while. And in the meantime, we want to build the best, you know, the best service and help. You know, our goal is to get the best businesses in front of the best customers. So we're going to continue to invest in our product as well as on our sales and marketing side to make sure that that we keep executing on our vision. And retail is a big part of that. And think, you know, as you said, there's a lot of innovation that's happening on the retail side, and there's a huge opportunity in that sector. And we want to get the retailers in front of the best vendors that can help them run their business much more efficiently.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This was a very enjoyable interview. I like the way you framed the question.
Thanks a lot, Prayag. Have a great day.
Thanks, Darius.
Cheers.
You too.
Bye-bye.